Well, today, as I mentioned earlier, is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, the day that the disciples were waiting for, the day that Jesus had told them about. Jesus had told them right before he went to heaven to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which you have heard me speak about. He said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so they waited 10 more days, which was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and filled the place. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church essentially was commissioned, empowered to go into all the world, as Jesus had told them also before he ascended, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he is with us even today through the Holy Spirit. Two messages recently that I shared about the Holy Spirit. The first one was the promise of the Spirit. Jesus said that he would pray the Father and he would give you another helper, he told his apostles. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see or cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. He says, but you know him, for he lives with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And so he was promising them the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is a gift. He is a gift from the Father. He was prophesied in the Old Testament that in the latter days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and the Word of God will spread. He is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, just sometimes the Spirit is how it's referenced in the Bible. It's all the Holy Spirit. And He dwells within us, and He is with us forever. That is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The second message was the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit. What will the Spirit do in us? What does He do for us? In that message, we learned, first of all, that the Spirit was given for conviction. Jesus said that when the Spirit has come, that He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so we saw there that it's the Holy Spirit of God that proves that we are guilty before God, that we are sinners and that we're lost before God. But He doesn't just condemn. He is also the one that brings salvation. He invites us to come. He is the one that moves in and causes us to be born again, born from above, not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us assurance of salvation. He is the one that witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. God wants us to know that we are His. As the song just finished a few minutes ago, I'm very sure that my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. He gives us that assurance of salvation. And, of course, the Holy Spirit was given to sanctify us, to set us apart, to make us holy, to fit us and equip us for the Master's use. So we've looked at the promise of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit, and today we want to look at the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit. Does your life have meaning and purpose? Or are you kind of just wandering through life aimlessly day after day? Well, God wants our lives to have purpose. He wants our lives to have meaning. He wants our lives to have significance. He wants our lives to count, to make a difference. God leads us and directs our lives in different ways. But one of the ways that He does that is by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 that I put in your bulletin there says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That is one way that we distinguish ourselves, or that we know that we belong to God, is that we are led by His Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in your life. But are you seeking daily to be led by the Spirit? We need to seek the Holy Spirit's leading. There are several examples in the New Testament about men who were led by the Holy Spirit. It begins with a man named Simeon, how that he was led by the Spirit when Jesus was brought into the temple as the law commanded to be circumcised there on the eighth day. Other men such as Philip was led by the Spirit. We're going to see later on in this message how Philip was led by the Spirit. And Peter, of course, was led by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost to preach that message in which 3,000 were saved. Men like Barnabas were led by the Spirit. And of course, Jesus Himself was filled with the Spirit at His baptism and was led by the Spirit in all of His life and all of His actions. But today I want to look at an example of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was led by the Spirit of God. And we're going to see that during his second missionary journey. And in the Bible, it is found in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. The book of Acts is compiled by Luke, the physician. And I want you to, I mentioned this to some of you recently, that somewhere in the book of Acts, the narrative transitions from talking about them to talking about us. And it's right here that this happens. Did you see that? Look at verses 6 and 7. And 8, it all says they. When they had gone, they were forbidden. They had come to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia. The Spirit did not permit them. Passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. But then in verse 10, notice this. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is where Luke himself joins the company, where he joins Paul and his co-laborers on this missionary journey. And so the rest of the book of Acts is written in first person. We did this and we did that. He was with them. I just thought that was interesting. Threw that in there for free. But the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, several observations, in fact, six observations about the leading of the Holy Spirit that we can infer from this chapter 16 of the book of Acts. Number one, the leading of the Holy Spirit can be difficult to discern. Can anybody say amen to that? The leading of the Spirit can sometimes be hard to know which way He's leading. What does He want me to do? Where does He want me to go? Notice that Paul here had difficulty. The Spirit said no twice in these few verses. And then Paul and his company ended up in Troas until they received the Macedonian call. Paul was probably, I can imagine, was thinking something like this. Lord, where are You leading me? You keep shutting the doors. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I try to go here, and the Holy Spirit forbids me to go preach the gospel, preach the word in Asia. It might have been circumstances. It might have been political unrest. Maybe there were other people like John, for instance, preaching there, and the Holy Spirit didn't want him to go there. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prevented them. So twice he receives an answer of no. Well, this encourages me. This is helpful to me because there are times in my life where I did not know what the Spirit would have me to do. And so if the great Apostle Paul, that had these personal revelations revealed to him, had difficulty in knowing what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do, then I don't feel so bad when I don't know for sure what the Spirit is leading me to do. It is not always easy to know where God is leading us. Sometimes it's by trial and error. Paul tried one door, God shut it. Paul tried another door, God shut that. Anybody ever experienced that? Tried this? No, that didn't work. Tried that? No. Well, we need to know that anytime God shuts one door, it's only to open another door. Another door. And so Paul ended up in Troas, waiting for the Spirit of God to lead him and what he should do. Maybe you are in a Troas today, not knowing which direction to go, what decisions to make. Well, you're in good company. Paul had his Troas moment waiting for the Spirit to tell him what to do. And so God gave him a vision of the man from Macedonia. This is another fulfillment of what the prophet Joel had written. In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit. Your old men will see visions. And so Paul here sees a vision of a man from Macedonia. God has a purpose for your life and a plan. Just be patient and wait upon the Lord. And what's the promise of Isaiah 40:31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Second thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit is it involves helping others. This is one way you know that it's God leading or the Holy Spirit leading is, does it involve helping others? That vision that Paul was given, the man from Macedonia says, come over and help us. Come over and help us. You see, the leading of the Spirit is not selfish. It's not self-gratifying. It's not for our own pleasure, our own benefit. It is to help others. God leads us to be servants. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He set the example. And so the Holy Spirit, when he leads us, he will be leading us to help others. So ask yourself, what is my motivation? To help others or to please myself? Do you like to be in the spotlight? Or are you eager to serve behind the scenes? Let me tell you, I'd be happy to serve behind the scenes. I'm not the kind of guy that likes to be out front. So you can understand why the Lord is the Holy Spirit leading me to preach the gospel, to pastor a church or not. That's not me. That's not my inclination. That's not my personality. So are you willing to serve in the background? Could be a test for knowing whether the Holy Spirit is leading. Those who always want the spotlight may not be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is leading to help others. The Holy Spirit, remember, He does not put the spotlight on you or on me. He doesn't even put the spotlight on Himself. He shines a light on Jesus and Jesus' ministry and how Jesus served. In Acts chapter 8, an example of the Holy Spirit leading is Philip the evangelist. Now, this is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip who was one of the seven deacons chosen in Acts chapter 6 to wait on tables and to serve the church. Philip, in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, goes down to Samaria. This is after great persecution arose against the church, and the disciples were scattered. Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel there, and he was having great success. Many people were believing in the Lord and being baptized. Even Simon the sorcerer came to faith in Christ and was baptized. Great revival was going on there. But the Holy Spirit, an angel of the Lord, the scripture says, told Philip to leave Samaria and go down the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. That's what the scripture says there in Acts chapter 8. The same Gaza that we hear in the news today. The Spirit told Philip, hey, you're done in Samaria. I want you to go down the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And Philip's probably thinking in himself, but Lord, there's such a great work going on here. There's a revival here. Why do you want me to leave this and go down to the desert? Well, there was a man from Ethiopia, the Ethiopian eunuch, that was on his journey to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And the Spirit of God led Philip to that man and to go up to his chariot. And he heard him reading the Word of God. And the man, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? And the Bible says that Philip, from that very passage where in Isaiah 53, he began to preach Christ to him. And the next thing you know, the Ethiopian is saying, hey, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And he was baptized. And the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrated the continent of Africa through that man, that one man, that God, the Holy Spirit, led Philip to leave that great revival and to go down there and minister to one man. So are we willing to leave the spotlight, to leave the something that may be more satisfying to us personally, and go do what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do? That's where we need to be. God is concerned about our obedience and our willingness to serve wherever He wants, whether it is a big job or a little job. Are we willing to go where the Spirit leads? Don't underestimate what God might do with one person who accepts Christ. Think about the person who prayed with Billy Graham to receive Jesus. They had no idea what that man would go on to do, what the Holy Spirit of God would go on to do, preaching to millions, countless people coming to Christ. So lead, follow the leading of the Spirit, and it will involve helping others. The third thing about the leading of the Spirit is the leading of the Spirit expects prompt obedience. Both times when the Holy Spirit said no, Paul didn't force the door open. When he wanted to go to Asia to preach the gospel there, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them or forbid them to go into Asia, he didn't go anyway. He didn't say, well, Lord, they need to hear it, and I'm going to go. He did not go. He obeyed. And when he said, don't go into Bithynia, he didn't go anyway. He obeyed what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do. When he got the Macedonian vision, he immediately obeyed. We must quickly obey when we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us. But back to point number one. Sometimes it's difficult to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we might want to take time to make sure it is the Holy Spirit who is leading us. You see, some Christians are rash. They're quick to move. They're presumptuous. They say, the Holy Spirit's leading me to do this today. Well, tomorrow they'll say, well, He's leading me to do that. Maybe completely different directions. They're hot and they're cold. They're in and they're out. They're up and they're down. We need to take time to discern what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. If you're unsure, don't do anything. Wait to make sure the Holy Spirit is leading you. Here's three tests to know God's will and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The three tests are the word test, the time test, and the door test. So the word test, of course, is the Bible. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to do anything that contradicts the teaching of the Bible. Does what you feel you are led to do line up with the Scriptures? That's the word test. The time test simply means give it some time. If it's just your desire, something you're wanting to do, then that will go away. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, that will persist. He will keep leading you in that direction. And then the third test is the door test. God will open the door. If you can't pray the door down, then don't force it down. Don't knock it down yourself. Let God open the door. Once we know it is the Holy Spirit that is leading us, then obey quickly. Fourth thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit is it includes our minds. I'm so thankful that the Christian faith is an intelligent faith. It is not one that we check our brains at the door and say, "Hey, I know this all doesn't make sense to me, and it's completely mindless, and it's all faith and just trusting." It is an intelligent faith. We do not put our mind on the shelf to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I thought of the example Paul gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where there was a lot of discussion and difference of opinions and controversy about the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Paul told them there that he says that if we pray in just our spirit, my understanding is not there. He said, "What will I do? I will pray in the Spirit and with my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit and with my mind. I'm going to understand." We don't check our minds or put our minds on the shelf to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not using your mind to follow the Holy Spirit will result in fanaticism and bizarre behavior. Use your mind to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul still used his mind when he got this Macedonian call, when he got this vision from the Lord, this man of Macedonia that said, "Come on over and help us." Where in Macedonia? Macedonia is a region. I don't know where exactly should I go. Well, Paul was strategic and he went to Philippi, which was the leading city of that region. Look at verses 11 and 12. If you still have your Bible open to Acts 16. Verse 11 and 12 says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days." So Paul thought, "Hey, if I go to Philippi, the leading city, if I make a difference there, if the gospel makes a difference there, then it will spread to the other cities of Macedonia." He was strategic. What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." It says there, don't lean on your own understanding. Isn't that mean don't use your mind? No, doesn't mean that at all. Don't lean on that alone. Trust God. Trust the Word. Trust what He says. Lean on Him. Trust in Him, but don't check your mind out. Don't put your mind on the shelf. Don't depend on your own understanding. Depend on God. But you still use your mind. You see, we can have zeal without knowledge, the Bible talks about. Zeal without knowledge leads to trouble. Doesn't do a lot of good. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word. Now, how can we lean upon the word guiding us, providing a lamp for our feet and a light into our path unless we use our mind? You see, we put the word of God into our mind. When Jesus said, "In that day, don't worry about what you're going to have to speak because it won't be you, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." The Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus said, but He ain't going to bring them to our remembrance if we haven't put them in our mind to begin with. Hide the Word in your heart that you may not sin against God. Use your mind to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. After all, the Holy Spirit is who inspired the Bible itself anyway. And if we put the Bible, the Word of God, into our minds, the Holy Spirit's leading will be in harmony with what He inspired to write. Fifth thing about the leading of the Spirit is it will be confirmed. It will be validated. The Holy Spirit's leading will be validated. After going to Philippi, look what happened. In verses 13 through 15, it says, "On the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." You see, the leading of the Holy Spirit said, "Go to Macedonia." Paul, in his strategic thinking, said, "I will go to Philippi, that leading city of Macedonia." And then while there, they meet this woman named Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. Did you notice that? The Lord opened her heart to heed the things which Paul said. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, was baptized, became a faithful follower of the Lord. So the leading of the Holy Spirit was confirmed by the results. The Lord opened her heart. Just like Philip was led down to that one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was receptive to what Philip preached. So the Lord led Paul to Philippi to preach to Lydia, and the Lord opened her heart. So God will open people's hearts to hear the gospel and to receive your help. There's confirmation that the Holy Spirit is indeed leading, and God will bless our efforts. And sixth and finally, about leading of the Spirit, this is what we don't want to hear, what we don't like, but it's the truth. The leading of the Spirit may involve hardship and persecution. Paul went to Macedonia. Well, what happened in Macedonia? We've seen some good results. Lydia received the Lord, was baptized, became a faithful follower of the Lord. But what else happened? Let's read verses 16 through 24. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. My goodness! Paul, just being faithful to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, has great success preaching the gospel. Lydia comes to Christ, and then as they continue their ministry there, he ends up casting out, in the name of Jesus, casting out an evil spirit out of this girl. And her owners get upset, and they're not going to be able to profit from her anymore, and they end up being beaten and thrown into prison. They might be thinking, Lord, I didn't expect to go to jail for following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I didn't expect to be beaten. What in the world is going on here? Maybe I am not in God's will after all. Well, you can be in the center of God's will and face hardship and persecution. And let me turn it around. You can escape hardship and persecution by being out of God's will. You can escape trouble and trials and tribulations by ignoring the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, life will be easy, but you won't be following the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit may lead you into hardship and persecution. In the day and age in which we stand, in which we live, we must stand for truth. We must stand for the gospel. We must stand for God's word and biblical authority. We have to stand. And it may cause us trouble. We may get rejected. We may get ostracized or persecuted, or who knows what may happen in the future. The Bible says perilous times are going to come in the last days. We may face hardship and persecution, but we have to stand on God's side and not the world's side. Remember John, what he wrote, "Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but comes from the world. And this world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." We must stand, and it may involve hardship and persecution. We might face opposition and criticism when standing for Christ, but do it anyway. You can be in the center of God's will and still face hardship. Consider Jesus, right after he was baptized in the Jordan River. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit may lead us somewhere that we would rather not go. Face opposition, face hardship, face persecution, face tough times. But we have to be led by the Spirit. He might lead us into spiritual warfare. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Don't be afraid. God will be with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So the leading of the Spirit may involve hardship or persecution, but God is in it. Look at what happened after that in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. After they were beaten and imprisoned, verse 25 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul said," or called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. There may be hardship and persecution, but people are noticing. People will hear. People will see your stand for Christ. There may not be an earthquake, and that's something that's dramatic. The prison doors may not fall open, but God is working. God crowned Paul and Silas's hardship by saving souls. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Live a life of meaning and purpose and significance. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we would just be orphans, as Jesus said, if not for the Spirit of God living in us. And I just pray that you will help us to realize what power is available to us, that we can stand against the forces of darkness. God, that we can stand when everybody else is falling. Jesus, you told your apostles that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they will be witnesses unto you in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So God, help us to accept that as our role now, as our privilege and our responsibility, that we will stand for Christ and be led by His Spirit. We pray in His name. Amen.